Last week we spoke a little bit about the sugya of das kinyanim, what intention, what kavana and das is necessary in order for a kinyan to be effective. So today we're going to move on in terms of inyanim of kinyanim and speak a little bit about the maisa kinyan itself. Well, how exactly does one affect a kinyan? So here the Gemara draws a distinction between different types of property, different types of items, particularly between metaltlin versus karka. So what are the methods of kinyanim metaltlin? How does a person buy something which is movable? So here there's a major machlek is a meroim between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Just how to understand the ABCs. You go to the store and you buy a bag of potatoes. How do you do that exactly? What exactly is the method that the Torah recognizes as a valid method of kinyan? So Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are both commenting on the Mishnah and Bav Metzia. The Mishnah and Bav Metzia in the beginning of the fourth parak is very clear that the method of kinyan that works for metaltlin is what we call Meshicha. Meshicha means, in the context of an animal, I drag the animal along, that's considered to be Meshicha. The parallel of kinyan of Meshicha and other kinds of items is what's called Hagbah. If I pick the item up, Hagbah and Meshicha, we're going to use the two terms interchangeably. They're not exactly the same, one is dragging, one is lifting, but the common denominator is that there's some kind of a handing, a physical action that involves the mocha handing it over to the koneh. And the third of the group, that type of a kinyan, is a kinyan Mesira. When rather than drag the animal itself, or rather than lift the animal itself, and merely hand over the reins of the animal, that's also considered to be a maisa kinyan. So we're going to lump all three together, the kinyan of Meshicha, Hagbah, and Mesira. They're not exactly the same, they're similar, and then the Mishnayos in the end of first book of Kedushin point out that certain types of things require Mesira, certain types of things require Meshicha, certain types of things require Hagbah, depending on what's considered to be the norm. If you're trying to sell a big elephant, so then it's hard to do Meshicha on it. The Gemara quotes one Tana that says you have to do Hagbah on an elephant. So the Gemara says, how are you going to do that? So the Gemara gives you an eight to how to lift up the elephant. So you must make little steps, let the animal walk up. So again, different ways to get around some of the technicalities in terms of kinyanim. But by and large, the rule is, whatever is the daka b'kach, whatever is the normal thing, but Meshicha gets Meshicha, Hagbah gets Hagbah, Mesira gets Mesira. Even though there are slight nuances of difference between these three kinyanim, we're going to call them all kinyan Meshicha, because they're all considered to be a physical transferring of the item. So the Mishnah says Beferish in the fourth parak of Metzia that the way to affect the kinyan on Metaltlin is through Meshicha. In contrast to Kesef, if you merely pay for something, so that's not going to be kind. If I walk to a store and I just give $5 for a bag of potatoes, and I didn't pick up the bag of potatoes yet, so the bag of potatoes does not belong to me. And in theory, if either party would want to back out from the kinyan, they would be able to do so. So kinyan kesef is not effective, whereas kinyan meshicha is effective. So with that background, Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish have a machlekes, how to understand that halacha. Why exactly is that true? So Rish Lakish says that that's a din min haTorah, that the Torah itself dictates how to be kinyan metaltlin. Where in the world does the Torah speak about kinyan metaltlin? So in Parshas Bahar, the Torah speaks about kinyanim in general. It speaks about selling karka and selling metaltlin. The truth is that the emphasis of those psukim is not really to tell you the method of kinyanim. Those psukim are talking about when you sell things bizman hayovel, what goes back, what doesn't go back, how you evaluate, etc. But in the middle of that discussion, so the Torah also alludes to what the method of kinyan is as well. And the Torah speaks about okono miyara misecha, acquiring something from the hand of your friend. So Rish Lakish says, miyara misecha is not just describing that you're acquiring it from your friend, but miyara misecha is teaching me the very method of acquisition. The way to acquire it is miyad amisecha, davar nikta miyad liyad, that the method of meshicha slash akbos slash mesira is considered to be the derech of yad liyad, and that is the way the Torah is instituting kinyanim of metaltlin. So according to Rish Lakish, this mishnah in the fourth parak of Metzia is recording a din d'araisa called a kinyan meshicha. What about a kinyan kesef? Rish Lakish says it doesn't exist. Torah doesn't talk about it. It doesn't exist. Comes Rabbi Yochanan and says the exact opposite. Comes Rabbi Yochanan with a famous statement and says, Dvar Torah ma'os konos. That min haTorah, the way to acquire metaltlin is specifically by giving money. The Mishnah says dafka not that way. The Mishnah says money is not a kinyan. Meshicha is a kinyan. So Rabbi Yochanan explains that that's the din min haTorah, that ma'os konos. But mid the Rabbanon, they did away with the kinyan of kesef because it's a little bit too risky. If you do a kinyan kesef, so you may end up with the following situation. I'm going to come to you and I say, listen, I want to buy a lot of grain that's sitting in your storehouse. I'm going to give you $10,000 for grain, and I'm technically the owner of the grain now. And if something happens to that grain, it's going to be my loss. But I haven't picked up the grain yet. I'm not planning on picking the grain for another 6 months, but it definitely belongs to me. So the Gemara says, what if a fire breaks out in the storehouse? So the mocher has no incentive to put the fire out. He's got his money ready. The deal is over. The Kona cannot back out because the Matarma is Konos. So Shema Yomalo Nisifuchitecha Be'aliyah. They were afraid that the Mocha is going to turn around to the Kona and say, listen, something happened. It's your grain. It got stolen. It got burnt. It got destroyed. What do you want from me? So Chachamim were afraid that's going to lead to a big fight. So in order to prevent that from happening, the Chachamim said that even though Min HaTorah Kesef is Kona, but it's just not a good idea. Practically, it's not a good idea for a Kinyan to be Chal unless I actually picked up the item itself. So if I pick the item up, if I go and I pick up the grain and then I decide to leave it there, it's my fault. But at least the halacha required of me to go pick it up and potentially bring it to my house. So since the only way to affect the Kinyan now, Bisman Hazem Mid Rabbanan, is through a Mashiach, Agbon Mesira, that fear of Shema, Yomolo, Nisifuchitech Aliyah no longer applies. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Mishnah Bav Metzia is not recorded the Din D'Oraisa. The Din D'Oraisa is long gone. The Mishnah is recording the Din D'Rabbanan, the Hefker Beis and Hefker, that now a kinyan can be affected dafka through Mashiach rather than through Kesef. So you have a conceptual machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Shlachish. How do we get to where we are? So we know what the Din is. The Mishnah is Beferish that Mashiach is Kona, not Kesef. According to Rish Lachish, we got the Min HaTorah. According to Yochanan, we got there, kind of circumvented it. We got around the Din D'Oraisa. We ended up there based on the Din D'Rabbanan. But what was the din according to Yochanan? So Takat Vatar Mal Skonis. So comes the Gemara and doesn't ask an obvious question. The Gemara doesn't ask Menon immediately. How did Rabbi Yochanan know that Vatar Mal Skonis? The Gemara asked them Rish Lachish. The Gemara says Menon immediately for Rish Lachish. How did Rish Lachish know that Mashiach is Kona Min HaTorah? The Gemara quoted a pasuk. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara didn't bother asking the question. Why didn't the Gemara bother asking the question? Either because it was obvious, or because maybe it was irrelevant, because we don't really pass in most Kanas anymore. It doesn't really exist anymore. So the Gemara didn't spend too much time analyzing what the Din D'Oraisa was. But for whatever reason, the Gemara was silent on this issue. So when the Gemara is silent, the Rishonim usually take over. So the Rishonim were bothered. Wait a second, let's stop for a second. According to Yochanan, what did Kinyan Metalton look like in the Torah? Where did it come from? Some days in, between the days of Moshe Rabbeinu and Rabbi Danasi, made a takana that Moses is not Konos, that Mashiach is the method of Kinyan, but Kozman, they were practicing the Din D'Oraisa, according to Yochanan, what was the source for this Din D'Oraisa? So Rashi on the spot suggests a possible source for the Din D'Oraisa that Moses Konos. Rashi says it's derived from Pidyon Hekdesh. It's derived from the fact that the Torah does give us a method of being Mechal Hekdesh. A person has a Davar Kodesh, let's say he was Makdesh his car, and now he wants to redeem his car. So the Torah says he redeems his car by giving money. So where does the Torah say that? So it says that in the end of Pashas Bukh Kosai. So Rashi quotes the famous Pasuk that doesn't exist. The Pasuk is V'nosar HaKesef V'kom Lo. If you search Chumash from tomorrow for that Pasuk, it doesn't exist. V'nosar HaKesef V'kom Lo is a Gemara in Kedushin and Davei, where the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, the Gemara is paraphrasing the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'yosef Chamishas Kesef Erkech Olav V'kom Lo. So it's too long to quote that whole thing, so the Gemara just condensed it and said, V'nosar HaKesef V'kom Lo. So, the Shiva guys never bothered looking up the Pasuk, so they never realized that's what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk never says, V'nasana Kesav Akamlo. It says, V'yasav Chamishas Kesav Erkha, something like that. Allah Akamlo. So Rashi says that Pasuk, the quote unquote V'nasana Kesav Akamlo, that's the Mokor for Kinyan Kesav. Why is it Kinyan Kesav? So Rashi is understanding something very unique, that when I dedicate something to the Beis HaMikdash, it's not just a din of Issa V'Hepter, it's a din of din of Amris. I have Amiras al-Gavoya, Kimisiras al-Hedja. It's as if I've transferred ownership of the car to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, if I want to redeem the car, I have to buy it back from the Beis HaMikdash. So what method do I use to buy it back? Kesef HaKomlo. I use Kesef. So since the Torah told me that the way to acquire back from Hekdesh is through the mechanism of Kesef, we can extrapolate from there to Kinyan Min HaHedyot as well. When I want to buy from my friend, I want to go to the pet market, I want to buy a bag of potatoes, so Min HaTorah, the way to buy back Metatlin, is through Kesef also. So it's really just an extension of Hekdesh. How come Rish Lachish didn't see that? Rish Lachish also read the Pesukim in Parshas Bechukosai. How come Rish Lachish didn't think that the Torah is alluding to the fact that you can be Kona Metatlin through Kesef? Rish Lachish never heard of the Kinyan Kesef. So the Chorah Rish Lachish had a very, very different understanding of Pidyon Hekdesh. What is it? What happens when I redeem something from Hekdesh? So according to Rabbi Yochanan, I'm buying it back from Hekdesh. The assumption is that it actually belonged to Hekdesh. according to Rish Lachish, maybe that's not the pshat. Maybe when I makdish something, according to Rish Lachish, there's no real transferring of ownership. It's not a dini moment, it's not cheshimish, but it's a behetter. I'm makdim kedusha on the item, and now I have to get rid of that kedusha. So the method of removing kedusha is through giving kesef. So this is always a question. Whenever you have a pidyon, the Torah speaks about the concept of pidyon in many, many places. Is pidyon really a change of ownership? So the Moshe pidyon aben. The person does pidyon aben, he's buying back his son. Moshe pshat is not. That's what the Tshuva Sedeshin writes in the Tshuva, that's almost absurd to think that pidyon aben is a buying back of a child. It's a make-believe pidyon. We're not sure exactly what it is, but to say that the son actually belonged to the Kohen, so that's absurd. That's what the Tshuva Sedeshin has a shaila, and his questions, no one ever asked him the questions, he asked his own questions. So one of his shailas that he has is that, let's say the father says, listen, I'm a little low on cash these days. The kid's been screaming for the last 30 days. You can keep him, have him. So is the father allowed to do that? That's the shadow the Tshuva Sedeshin has. So he said, that's ridiculous. Of course he can't have him. And let's say the father decides not to do pidyon aben. So the kohen can take him as an eved. He belongs to the kohen. So that's a joke. He doesn't really belong to the kohen. So why is it called a pidyon aben? So a pidyon aben doesn't mean it's a kinyan. Not every pidyon is a kinyan. So it could be that's what Rish Lakish understood. Pidyon hekdesh is also. Not every pidyon is a kinyan. It could be that pidyon hekdesh just means there's a davar also. There's hekdesh is chal. There's an issa to use the item before you redeem it. When you redeem it, that's a matter of the issa hekdesh, but it's not a kinyan. And therefore, you can't extrapolate from there to buying potatoes in Pathmark. So whatever it is, this is Rashi Shita and Bamitzia, that the potential mokor for Rabbi Yochanan is learned out from pidyon hekdesh. So the Rif has a different twist than Rabbi Yochanan. The Rif says that the mokor for Rabbi Yochanan is a kal v'chomer. What's the kal v'chomer? So the Rif alludes to Gemara has this kal v'chomer in Bechoros. The Rif says there's a kal v'chomer. How do you buy a person's body? If you want to buy an eved ivri, so you buy an eved ivri, one of the methods is through kesef. So if madach, you can buy the person's guf with kesef. Kal v'chomer, you can buy his rishos, you can buy his betalton with kesef as well. So im guf el kone, mamona l'kosh again. So it's based on the midas of kal v'chomer. So that would also be a din deraisa, what Bishmol says, but that's not a kal v'chomer, but also constitute a din min haTorah. So according to Rashi, it's a posuk, most konas. According to the Rif, it's not a pasuk that most konas, but it's a kal v'chomer. Other Rishonim write the Ritva, and others write that it's neither a pasuk nor a kal v'chomer. We don't have any mocha. The Gemara never says what the mocha is. So other Rishonim write, you know what the mocha for the Torah most konas is? It's a svara b'alma. It's pasuk. It's common sense dictates that way. What's the common sense? Whatever the minhag ha'olam is to buy things. When you ask an average person on the street, how do you buy potatoes? When you pay for potatoes, you buy them. If you don't pay for it, you call the ganav. If you pay for it, you call the lekech. So comes the Ritva and says, that's the dako shel olam. So when the Torah said, when the Torah said, there's a parshas hakinyanim, the Torah didn't have to elaborate what the parshas hakinyanim is. There are no dinim as to what specific method you use in order to be kohen metaltlin. Whatever the derech ha'olam is to be kohen, that's considered to be a kinyan. Reish Lakish was the one who was bechadish, that the Torah said, there's a parshas hakinyanim. There's a dinim mashiach. Rabbi Yochanan said, in the absence of Xeris HaKosov, so we fall back on whatever the Derech HaKinyonim is. We will talk about it in the future shiur about Kinyon Karka. So Kinyon Karka, the Torah does elaborate certain Derech HaKinyonim. But says the Ritva, the absence of Derech HaKinyonim, the absence of explicit psukim, so then you fall back on whatever the Derech HaShalolim is. That's considered to be a Kinyon on the level of the Araisa. So we have conceptually three very, very different approaches. In the Rishonim, what was the source for the Kinyan Kesef, Dvar Torah Baal Konos? Was it based on Pidyon Hekdesh, the Grashi? Was it based on Eved Ivri, like the Rif? Was it based on the Darko Shalom, like the Ritva? At the end of the day, it doesn't matter all that much, because even Rabbi Yochanan said that was only the dinner level of the Araisa. Lamaisa Medir Rabbanon, even Rabbi Yochanan concedes to Reish Lakish that the correct method of Kinyan is through Mashiach. Medir Rabbanon, they did away with the Kinyan Kesef. Why are we spending so much time in Rabbi Yochanan? It doesn't work anyway. So, Midr Rabban, everybody agrees that the correct method is not Kesef. Does it really matter whether we follow Rabbi Yochanan or Reish Lakish? So, there are several halachas that are relevant even for us, even post the days of the Mishnah, even after the Takanas Chachamim, the Kesef is not Koine. It's still important for us to understand the concept of the Machlekes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So, one of the first places where it becomes important for us, believe it or not, is the Shah and Chanukah. So, in case some people were expecting Chos Chanukah Shia, so we got a little bit of Hilchos Chanukah Shia. It's a follow-up of what we spoke a little bit about last night. The Gemara Masechet Shabbos, Daf Chof Gimel, tells us that if a person is a guest in somebody's house, so they're chayav in Eres Chanukah, so no chayav in Eres Chanukah, And the Gemara says, how do you fulfill that obligation? Through being mishtatef a pruta, by buying a share of the oil. You give a pruta to the Baal HaBayis, and that way you acquire a share in the oil, and therefore you yotzei the mitzvah of Neres Chanukah. So we spoke yesterday, Machlokes HaPoskim, what if a person wants to light his own menorah? So some poskim say that's for sure good. Another poskim say that's no good. You have to be yotzei dafka to mishtatef a pruta. So the Mishnah Berurah is making. Mishnah Berurah says you can be yotzei either way. That's the way we generally follow the halacha. But some are machmer there. But the Gemara says, for sure, Mishtatev Pruta works. The problem with the post-Gemara is, wait a second, how does Mishtatev Pruta work? What are the mechanics of Mishtatev Pruta? L'chaura, what Mishtatev Pruta means is that I'm owning a share in the oil. L'chaura, it's not true. And I don't own a share in the oil because L'maisa Kesef is in Kona. Since the Mishnah says that Mashiach is the only way to be Kona, we should have expected that the halacha should have been that I have to pick up the oil rather than giving Kesef for the oil. So the Mishnah Berurah says, if you pick up the oil, you're also Yotzei. But that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says Mishtatev Pruta. Mishtatev Pruta is also good. So just technically, how does Mishtatev Pruta work in light of what we just said? If I'm a guest in someone's house tonight and I give them a nickel for a share on the oil, the mice, I don't own the oil. If they would want to back out from the Kenyan, they could back out. If I'd want to back out, I'd back out. So the whole Mishtatev Pruta is a joke. It doesn't really work in Chashim Mishpat. So how do you understand that eighth of Mishtatev Pruta? So there were some Rishonim who say that the Mokal Mitzvah logos are abundant. That here and in other examples of mitzvahs as well, that the Chachamim said that whatever is considered to be a Mokal Mitzvah, they left it on the Din D'oraisa. So in a Chanami, if I would come to a Baal Bosan and say, I want to buy a share of the oil, I give him a nickel, he would not be able to back out. That in Chashim Mishpat, he wouldn't be able to back out, because a Mokal Mitzvah lo grows a Rabbanon. Then there are other Rishonim who say that this Din Midrabbanon, that you're allowed to back out from a Kenyan, even though the Kenyan was binding, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Minat Torah was binding, Dvar Torah Mos Kanas, but Midrabban, you're allowed to back out. So the Rishonim have Machlokes, what does that mean, I'm allowed to back out? So you can understand that the Kanas Chachamim in one of two ways. Either you can understand that the Chachamim were okay, they uprooted the entire Kenyan Kesef. That means Minat Torah, there's a Kenyan Kesef on the Tautlin, and Midrabban, there's no such thing. Midrabban, they took the Kenyan Kesef, basically threw it out the window. Kenyan Kesef doesn't exist, the same way that according to Rish Lakish, it doesn't exist. According to Yochanan, it doesn't exist as well. So they were Oikil Gamra, Kinyan Kesef, from here on in, post the days of Mishnah, Kinyan Kesef is non existent Kinyan. Is that the Pshat? Was Pshat? No. They never did away with the Kinyan Kesef. All they did was is that they gave the Mocher and Lokech the rights to back out. Normally, when a Kinyan takes effect, so you can't back out. Those two things go hand in hand. So here the Chacham said, notwithstanding the fact that the Kinyan is Chal, we're going to give you a special schos, that special ability, that privilege of backing out from the Kinyan. But Medivam Amurim, if you want to avail yourself of that backing out. But if you choose not to back out, so then the Kinyan was valid. Because the Kinyan was Chal, it's a Tanai Chazara. It's an alumdish away. The Kinyan is Chal with a condition that you can back out if and when you want to. But Kolzmad, you don't back out, so the Kinyan is valid. Here I come to somebody's house, I'm sleeping over tonight, and I give him a nickel for the share of the oil. He doesn't want to back out from the Kenyan. I don't want to back out. I'm going to have it in Torah. You're not going to have it. If we come to the Beis Din the next morning and say, I want to back out. He wants to back out. So Beis Din's going to have to give me the ability to back out, because that's the Tekonis HaMishnah. The Dvar Torah, Mos Konos, but Midraban, they're not going to. But Kozman, everybody's happy, and nobody's backing out from anything. So then the din is, the oil belongs to whoever paid for it. So if I give a nickel for a share of the oil, so I own that oil. I, the Moichah, could back out at any moment, but we know he's not going to back out. So therefore, Dvar Torah, Mos Konos is helpful for us in terms of Vichos Chanukah. So either of you go the first route, that Dvar Torah Mos Konos, and even Midrabanan, it's Kona, as long as it's a Mokha Mitzvah, or if you say that Dvar Torah Mos Konos, and even Midrabanan, that they did away with the Kinyan, but they didn't really do away with the Kinyan, they just gave you the Schus to be Chayzer, Kozman, you don't take advantage of that Schus, so the Kinyan is binding, both Minat Torah and Midrabanan, so we understand that the Kona owns a share of the oil. But there's one last thread that we have to understand. How does Rish Lakish understand this? The din of Mishtatev Pruta appears in the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos. We don't find anybody argues on it. We don't say, I'm a Reish Lakish. No, Mishtatev Pruta doesn't work. You have to dafka pick it up. So according to Reish Lakish, why isn't Mishtatev Pruta, how is Mishtatev Pruta sufficient? According to Reish Lakish, Mishtatev Pruta is a joke. It's a meaningless act. I walk into Reish Lakish's house and I say, I'd like to acquire share of the oil. Let me give you a nickel. So Reish Lakish, what are you doing? That's not a Kenyan. It's not a Kenyan in that Torah. It's not a Kenyan in the Rabban. Kesef doesn't exist. Reish Lakish has a Gzeres HaKosav. Miyana Misech. Another nickel Miyad Liyad. So how did Reish Lakish follow this along? How did he understand this din of Mishtatev Pruta? The Gemara never presents that he argued with it. So unless one argues that the nature of Mishtatev Pruta is very different from what we thought. You know, we look at this Gemara in Shabbos and Mishnah and Pruta, and we're Lamdonim, we're learning Chayshim Mishpat, we're learning Bav Metzias. So we look at this thin Nuchas Chanukah through the eyes of Bav Metzias. The Yakoina, a Chalik, and the oil, it's a Kinyan, it belongs to you, not to Tom. It could be, it's a symbolic gesture that the Chachamim said that the Achzenoi, in order to be Yetzin Nuchas Chanukah, has to have a share, has to have a Chalik. It doesn't mean a Halachi Chalik, it doesn't mean a Didi Bomer is Chalik. It just means, yeah, some Shaykhs to the oil. So how do you do, accomplish this symbolic gesture? You hand over a pruta. That's good enough. No need a chayshim mishma. It's so lumdish. It's got to meet the criteria of the nimamnis in order to be kind of the oil. As long as symbolically you gave a little bit of the money for the oil, that's good enough. So if that's the case, then it wasn't a question of Rabbi Yochanan either. But it could be that even according to Rabbi Yochanan, you're not kind of the oil. Kinyan kesef doesn't exist. It doesn't exist in Mokal Mitzvah. It doesn't exist Bechlal. Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokesh are equal at the end that the Kinyan Kesef practically doesn't exist, and Mishtat Reput is still good. Because Mishtat Reput was never meant for Torah's Kinyan, Mishtat Reput was meant for Torah's symbolism. Where do we find such a similar idea that we don't have to insist on absolute Kinyan? We're dealing with more of a religious practice, more of an Archaim type of practice, so we don't have to be so sticky about a particular Kinyan. So we had this a little bit in Erevin. We learned some of the sugs of Erevin. The Mishnah says in Erevin, if I want to make an Erev Chatzeres, and go to the store and I buy a box of matzahs, and now I want to be mezakeh the box of matzahs for everybody in town. So what do? So I take the box of matzahs, and I hand it to somebody, and the other person is my via tefach. The other person picks up the box of matzahs for one tefach, and showing by picking up for a tefach, everybody's kona share of the matzahs, and that's good enough. So the Mishnah has Kitash and Rashi. Rashi Sheet of Maseches Kedushin is that in order to create a Kinyan Hagbah, you have to pick the item up three tvachim. Because Rashi says, Kol Zman, that it's within three tvachim of the ground, that's what's called Lovud. Same way we have Halacha Moshe Messina, in Ilchas Erevin, in Ilchas Sukkah, that anything within three tvachim is considered to be as if it hasn't moved, it's as if it's connected. So if I have breaks in my walls in my Sukkah, less than three tvachim, no problem. So too, if I pick up the box of matzahs, less than three tvachim off the ground, I'm not koina. That's not considered to be a kinyan hagbah. So the Rishonim ask on Rashi, Tosfos asks, according to Rashi, that lovud has to be three tefachim. I in the Mishnah says, magbi of tefach. How can a tefach be good enough? So Rabbi Natam said, you see from here that my grandfather's not right. You see from here that the shiur of hagbah is a tefach. You know, there is no din of lovud. Lovud is a din in building a sukkah and building a mechitza. It has nothing to do with kinyanim. So what's pshat in Rashi? So one of the possibilities with us Rashi is that maybe when the Mishnah says, magbi of tefach, that you have to pick up the Erev, it doesn't mean you have to mamish koina the Erev. This is not chayshim mishpat. This is symbolism. It means mid the rabbanan, the chacham instituted a din of erevin, and they want it to be that everybody has a share in the erev. Does it mean that everybody owns the erev in Beis Din? Everyone owns it in chayshim mishpat and did mamaris and mamitzia. You mamish own the erev? No, as long as you made a symbolic gesture, magbi of tefach, you picked it up. It's as if you own it. Even though that symbolic gesture taka falls short in the realm of pure didi mamaris. So if that's the pshat in erevin, so maybe that's the same pshat in Chanuk also. When the Gemara says Mishtate Bepruta, it doesn't mean Didimamnis. Don't get so excited about Perek Hazov. It just means that as long as you have a Shaychas to the oil, that's good enough. So, whatever it is, the Rabbi Yechav Mishloch Hashav de Machlokis, the Gemara Shabbos makes its statement, Mishtate Bepruta, and Lamaise says somehow these two sugyas have to coincide together. So get back to our story. So we have a machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokesh. So does any of this really matter in terms of practically speaking? If after all, at the end of the day, you're going to make a kinyan, which is not a kinyan kesef, because even Rabbi Yochanan concedes that kinyan kesef isn't really effective mid the Rabbanan. Everyone agrees you have to make a kinyan mashicha. So then, how is this going to play out in terms of any relevance l'maisef? So there is a sugya in the beginning of the second parak of Maseches Bechoros, when the Gemara makes somewhat of a startling statement. It's based on Exeris HaKosuv. The Gemara says, if you look at the Parshas HaKinyanim and Parshas Bahar, so the Torah speaks about selling things from one Jew to another. The Torah emphasizes the Kinyan takes place between two Jews. So what's the significance of spelling out Amisecha? It says Amisecha twice. So the Gemara says, this comes to teach us that whatever method of Kinyan works between two Jews only works between two Jews and doesn't work between a Jew and a Goy. If a Jew sells a Goy, or a Goy sells a Jew, so whatever is usually the effective method of Kinyanim is not effective between Jews and Goyim, and vice versa. So whatever method I think works between Jews doesn't work between Jews and Goyim. Whatever method doesn't work between Jews is the method that works between Jews and Goyim. It's a very, very strange din. That's the Gemara in Zefa Pasuk. That's the din Mamanis. That whatever works between Reuben and Shimon will not work between Reuben and John. And whatever doesn't work between Reuben and Shimon will work between Reuben and John. What's the does work and doesn't work? So the Gemara says, A'i kesef and meshicha. According to Yochanan, who says that most kanos min haTorah, that midaraisa, the way to buy metalpolin is through ma'os. So when you try to buy and sell to John, ma'os will not work. Kesef will not work. What will work? Meshicha. All of a sudden, Rabbi Yechon, we never heard of Mashiach according to Rabbi Yochanan, and all of a sudden, Mashiach comes as a tchis amesim. That according to Rabbi Yochanan, this is midaraisa, not midaraisa, midaraisa. According to Rabbi Yochanan, if you want to buy and sell to a guy, the way to do it is through Mashiach, not through kesef. What about according to Reish Lakish? Reish Lakish, he never heard a kid in Mos. He never heard a kid in Kesef. And Bamed Devar Mamurim, that Reish Lakish never heard a kid in Kesef, that's between two Jews. But between Jews and Goyim, all of a sudden that becomes a method of Kenyan. So everything is back, you have to wear everything backwards. Whatever works between Jews doesn't work between Goyim and vice versa. See, now this begins to have some relevance for us, the Halacha, because there are several times when we want to make sure that we sell items to Goyim. Why are we running to go sell items to Goyim? We're not so concerned when we just have a Jewish store and a guy comes in to buy something in my store. So he'll buy it. By the time he gets home, somehow he figured out that he bought the object. So why are we so machpid? We want to make sure that we sold the item properly to a guy. So we go back to what we spoke about last week, that there are two areas of halacha where it becomes critical to know that the method of kinyan was effective. One was from mechiras b'chor, we mentioned last week. If I have an animal that's about to give birth, a firstborn male, so I want to make sure that that animal belongs to a goy before the birth of the animal. Because if the baby boy is born, so then it gets kedushas b'chor, and I can't bring it as a korban today, and I can't make a mum, it's got to run around. It's a big problem, a big balagan. So I want to make sure that that b'chor was sold, the animal, the mother was sold to the goy before the baby boy is born. That's Mechiras Bechor. And then later in history came up the notion of Mechiras Chametz. Rishonim didn't really do Mechiras Chametz en masse like we do, but all the principles that they used in Mechiras Bechor, so the later Achronim picked up and carried them over to Mechiras Chametz. In the olden days, they didn't do Mechiras Chametz en masse. Nobody had so much Chametz. The Jews weren't in the whiskey business, so they didn't have to sell Chametz. Later, the Jews started to go into certain kinds of food businesses, so then all of a sudden, Mechiras Chametz became popular. Mechiras Chametz started in the days of the Tanoim. It existed in a very, very small scale in the days of the Tanoim. Every once in a while, a guy had Chametz he had to sell, but 99% of the people didn't bother selling Chametz. Nobody had a couple of pieces of bread. You finished them and threw out the rest. So these two areas of halacha, Mechiras Bechor and Mechiras Chametz, so here the poskim say you have to make sure you do the kinyan right. So you have to make sure that you get the right method of kinyan. So what method of kinyan are you going to use? So you got to go back to Bechoros and say, well, what's the correct method? So the answer is, whatever method doesn't work for Jews is the method that works between Jews and Goyim. So if you hold like Rabbi Yochanan, that the method of kinyan for Jews is kesef, then the method of kinyan for Jews and Goyim is Mashicha. That becomes very, very difficult to pull off, because how are you going to kinyan Mashicha? So if I just have a couple of pieces of chametz I want to sell to the Goyim, that's great. What if I have a whole pizza store, and I have a whole catering establishment, and I got boxes and boxes of schnapps in my house, and I want to sell to the Goyim, so Mr. Brown's got to come and pick up every single box? But he's going to give me money for the box. It doesn't do anything. According to Rabbi Yochanan, Dvar Torah Mal's Konos, and therefore between Jews and Goy Meshicha or Hagbah's Kona, so the only way for the Goy to be Kona all the Chametz is by picking up every piece of Chametz. Or the case of the Bechor, I got a lot of animals, and I want to make sure the Goy owns all of them. He's got to come and do Meshicha on every animal. It's going to become a big hassle. So that's a big problem, according to Rabbi Yochanan. According to Reish Lakish, it's much easier. According to Reish Lakish, it's very simple. You make a Kenyan Kesef, because according to Reish Lakish, Mashiach is Kona between Jews, and therefore the opposite, Kesef is Kona between Jews and Goyim. So according to Reish Lakish, Mechiras Bechor and Mechiras Chametz is a cinch. The Goy comes, gives you a quarter. I'm buying all your Chametz, millions of dollars worth of Chametz, I'm giving you a quarter. I'm buying you 100 animals, I'm giving you a quarter. Everything's great. According to Reish Lakish, the Goy and the Jew don't have to go anywhere near the barn, don't have to go anywhere near the schnapps. They make a Kenyan Kesef and call it a day. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's very, very difficult to pull off a Kenyan. So how do we pass him? Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. So the Rishon have machlokes. How do we pass him? Usually we follow Rabbi Yochanan. 99% of the time we follow Rabbi Yochanan against Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish was the Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. He was his Talmud and his brother-in-law. But Rabbi Yochanan usually wins. But here the Gemara of Metzia seems to side with Reish Lakish. The Gemara seems to conclude that the Halacha here follows Reish Lakish. That's machlokes Rabbi Yochanan. But the Gemara really mean that or not? So according to those Rishonim who pass like Reish Lakish, Mechiras Chametz is very easy. And according to the Rishonim who pass like Rabbi Yochanan, Mechiras Chametz is very, very difficult. So we're choshesh for Rabbi Yochanan. We're afraid that maybe the only way to be kona metaltlin of a goy is through mashicha. So we don't want to rely on kesef. We do kesef also, but then we supplement it with many, many other kinyanim. Which hopefully, as we go along with the different kinyanim, we'll talk a little bit more about which kinyanim we supplement with chatz and agav, etc. A series about the kinyanim, just to make sure that we're home free. But the root of the problem, the reason why Mechiras Chavis has become so complicated, is the same reason why Mechiras Bechor became so complicated, because we're not sure whether we want to follow Rabbi Yochanan or Rishon Lakish. But if we go back for a moment to the Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Rishon Lakish, there is a very difficult practical problem that the Rishon would bother with within the view of Rabbi Yochanan. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that the Dvar Torah Ma'os Konos, that Midaraisa, the way to be Kona Metalflin, is through Kesef, so come to Rishon and ask, that makes sense in the realm of a mechira. If I want to sell you an item, so you understand. So mashicha doesn't really mean anything. Hagbah doesn't really mean anything. Mesira doesn't really mean anything. The only way to be kona in the Torah is afka through kesef. That's true if we're dealing with buying and selling. What if I want to give you a gift? I want to give you a matana. I want to give you a gift. So how does that transaction take place? How does a concept of a kinyan matana exist according to Rabbi Yochanan? According to Reish Lakish, it's very simple. The same mashicha, gvah mesira, that I use for a kinyan of mekichamem, for buying and selling, I can use that for the granting of a gift. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that the only method that the Torah recognizes is kesef, so I want to give you a gift, so I don't want to charge you any money. There's not going to be any handing over of money. So how does Rabbi Yochanan envision the acquisition of a matana on a level of deraisa? But on a level of deraisa, how in the world do you affect such a kinyan? So this is a machlekes rishonim. Tosfos in Maseches Avodah Zarah suggests that even Rabbi Yochanan concedes that Mashiach is a kinyan. Rabbi Yochanan says that Dvar Torah Mos Konos, he doesn't mean that Mashiach doesn't exist, that the Torah has never goyres the kinyan of Mashiach. All Rabbi Yochanan says is that in a kinyan that can have kesef, when there's a concept of kesef, when there's a possibility of kesef, so then you have to give kesef. But if there's no concept of kesef, if kesef, for whatever reason, isn't practical, isn't relevant, so then even Rabbi Yochanan agrees that Mashiach is kona min haTorah. So the machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish is not that Reish Lakish made up the concept of Mashiach, and Rabbi Yochanan says, I never heard of Mashiach, it doesn't exist. Of course Rabbi Yochanan agrees that Mashiach is a kinyan min haTorah. Haraya, it works by Goyim, in Jews and Goyim it does work. So Mashiach is on the radar screen of Rabbi Yochanan in terms of kinyanim. It's just that in the presence of kesef, in the context of a sale, so money is the way to do it. But if there's no money, if money is not an option, because there is no money being transferred, it's a gift, so then even Rabbi Yochanan agrees to Reish Lakish that the method of kinyan is through Mashiach. So according to Tosfos, the way to acquire a matana, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is dafka through Mashiach. And the Ramban in Bava Metzia disagrees. The Ramban says, no, it's not true. The Ramban fundamentally disagrees with Tosfos. The Ramban says, Mashiach doesn't exist according to Rabbi Yochanan. There's no such kinyan by Jews of Mashiach, neither by Mekichel Memker, nor by Matana. So the Ramban's back to square one. So how do you acquire a Matana? How do you get a Matana? How do I transfer ownership to you if there's not going to be any kesef? So the Ramban said, lo chaser, there are other kinyanim. There are other kinyanim that exist in Halacha. What are some of the other kinyanim that exist? There's a kinyan chalipin, we haven't gotten to that yet. There's a kinyan chotzer, we spoke a little bit about that the other week. Kinyan chotzer means, once the item is in my property, if the item is in my property, so then for sure, I'm going to be kona min haTorah. How do you know that? So that's a parsha learned out from Gittin. The Torah says, v'nosen biyodah. You can give a get to a wife in her hand, v'nosen biyodah. That's the model that the Torah gives us. Then the Gemara says, v'nosen biyodah, ein li ala biyodah, the chatzer minayin. How do you know that I can put the get down in her rishus, in her property, without actually handing it over to her? So the Gemara says, v'nosan mikol makom. The Gemara beginning of the 8th Berach of Gittin. So that gzeres hakos of v'nosan mikol yakom teaches me that chotzer is a kinyan. So comes the Ramban and says, that's a din min haTorah. That's beferish in the Gemara. That's a din min deraisa. It works for Gittin. That's a din min deraisa. So comes the Ramban and says, that's the way you koyda a matana. It means when I hand it to you, you taka that koyda. When you bring it home, the animal walks into your backyard, so then you koyda through a kinyan chotzer. So the Ramban says, lo chaser kinyanim, that it exists on a level of deraisa. But the kinyan of Mashiach really doesn't exist. It's not on the radar screen of kinyanim, according to the view of the Ramban, b'das Rabbi Yochanan. So again, so we have the starting point, the machlekes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Well, how did the Torah envision Pashta kinyanim vis-a-vis metaltelim? So Reish Lakish is beferish, Mashiach, it's a din min haTorah, b'yad liyad. And Rabbi Yochanan denied that drasha. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, Kesef. Where did Kesef come from? So Rashi dug up a mokhav from Hekdesh, and the Rif dug up a mokhav from Evid Ivri. And the Ritva says there is no mokhav, and the mokhav is just the svar derech hakinyanim. So machlek is the gedol Rishonim. How do we pass in halacha? It's unclear in the Rishonim how we should pass in halacha. The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos seems to invoke a kinyan kesef in the context of Neres Chanukah, so you have to explain that away. Either that's Mokha Mitzvah, or it's a kinyan with a chazara, or maybe we misunderstood the whole concept of Shad V'Pruta. Maybe Shad V'Pruta is not Betoris kinyan, it's Betoris a symbolic gesture. Then the question is, does any of this really matter in the halacha? So it does matter. The Chapstaf Kamin in terms of kinyan between Jews and Goyim, because the Gemara Bechira is that the Gemara flips between whatever the kinyan between Jews are, is the opposite between Jews and Goyim. And then the last issue that the Rishonim raised is, this whole machlokes makes sense in the context of Mekach HaMemker. What do you do in the realm of Matanos? How do you become a Matana? So Tosfos says Matanos Rabbi Yechon is moided to, and the Ramban says, no, he argues there also, and you have to invoke some other type of a kinyan. So Kopana, we have a little bit of an overview in terms of what the kinyan mitalchon are. Now, next week we have to talk about what the Kinyani Karka are. So Karka is a whole different ballgame, a whole different set of rules. Mishnayis and Masechus Kedushin, what are the different methods of Kinyan for Karka? And then we'll try to speak about some of the similarities, differences between Kinyani Karka and contrast to Kinyani Mitalchon. Okay, stop.